for NDK.
DK, KED2VNG. How you doing?
VHC, W4NDK. Doing well. Doing well. Sitting here working and taking a little break for the lunch hour for some ham radio.
Radio break. So you got your ham sandwich and your ham radio. Well, it stopped raining. The flooding seems to have gone down.
I'm glad the flooding seems to have gone down. I haven't noticed or read the news in Charlotte here to see if there's been any flooding. But I got my ham sandwich, my ham radio, and then this weekend I think we're going to drive down to Hampstead, North Carolina.
Okay. I didn't know there was a Hampstead. Okay, let's see. On Long Island there was a Hampstead, but okay, same thing.
North Carolina is near Wilmington, and to get there you got to drive through Hampstead, Hamlet.
I've been to Wilmington. I stayed in Wilmington Southport. Yeah, that area there. It's Southport. There's a little oceanside town there.
Nice place. That's like the last stop for the ferry boat over to Baldhead Island, which is real nice but expensive.
Live or visit, but it could be real expensive to live or visit. Good restaurants there down by the waterfront, though. I didn't have time really to stay and have dinner, but looks like the fresh catch of the day, pretty much everything.
Seafood down in South Carolina, too. I didn't catch your call sign right. Did you say KD2VAG?
Delta 2, Bravo, November Golf.
Thanks. This is Whiskey 4, November, Delta Kilo.
Remember that. Although 5 minutes later, it'll be forgotten. So where are you accessing the repeater from? You can't be in Charlotte, because that'd be... You said something about Charlotte?
Here? Yeah, and where are you located? I see on KD2BNG is in New York.
Fort Long Island? No, obviously not. I should fix that one day. I'm in Gray Court, South Carolina, about 30 minutes or so east of Greenville. The little town of Gray Court, you know, one stoplight in the post office.
Yeah, no, I'm in Charlotte. We got a pretty good antenna I put up last Sunday. So, doing a lot more chatting out there on Caesar's Head and also Hendersonville and the Mount Mitchell repeater.
Repeater for you should be easy. I mean, I can get to it from here, and it's a good 80 or 90 miles road-wise. Charlotte, straight line distance to the repeater, I'm guessing is over 100 miles, 120, maybe more.
Caesar's Head, or are you talking to Mount Mitchell?
Caesar's Head would be further. Over 100 miles, certainly.
Clear line of sight. I kind of sit on the edge of a hill in Charlotte that goes down to South Carolina, so that helps me out, but if I'm trying to get west to Mount Mitchell, there's some mountains between and hills between myself and Mount Mitchell.
Because I could hit that Mount Mitchell repeater from here. I mean, that's at 6,000 feet elevation. There's not very much higher than that.
We'll get to it now, but when I had the antenna on the roof of my house, I did not get good propagation to Mount Mitchell.
On the roof, so where'd you move it?
70 feet up in a tree, then it's a 17-foot antenna.
So that's... What would be 17 feet on 2 meters? Like a Super J pole or something, huh? I can build something like that. I got room to put it up.
P9, a Comet GP9. It's a 2-meter 440 antenna.
That's as long as that. Because there's another type of there's a J pole and a C pole. There's something called a super J pole, which is almost like another quarter wave or half wave thing stacked together. All right, I'll have to look up that comet antenna.
Get a repeater ready antenna, but I just decided to go ahead and get the good one.
Very well, if you're making it, you know, full quieting into the repeater from Charlotte. I didn't think you'd be able to work it that far. But okay, very interesting. There's a 9 p.m. net here, you know, pretty much every night.
Last night. I also try to get on the Hendersonville one whenever I can. I'm kind of jumping around net to net. But yeah, yours is a good one. That was a big net last night. It lasted quite a while.
Wasn't on last night or the night before, I don't think. I've been on there much less frequently recently. I should probably start trying to check in almost every night like I used to do.
I'd rather rag two than go to nets, but nets are fun also. I think last night I went in and I checked in online before the net. Just said there's a little form to fill out. And they mentioned me out there. I really wanted to try my propagation and talk out there to it, but it makes it easier on NetController if I just checked in online.
Yeah, weekdays conflicts with my TV viewing time. Which station was it now that had reruns of Battlestar Galactica on?
You know, I used to watch that as a kid. I had to look and see what that's on. I've heard other people talking about it. I just don't get much TV in these days. I'm trying to study for the general, so I'm getting started on that again. I've been reading that Gordon West book, but it's been a while. Got my technician license February 10th. I need to get geared up and get into a test so I can get it done.
Take that much more knowledge than you had for the technician. See, I never had technician. You can sit for as many exams as you want. You can walk out of there with an extra class if you know that much. But, yeah, you know, as long as I'm here, give me the general and give me the extra exam. So I guess study for general or extra. What's the worst that'll happen?
True. I can always pass the general. So, did you have a background in electrical engineering?
No, computer engineering, computer programming. Computer science, to the extent that it's actually a science. I don't think there's any way, scientific way to design a program. But computer art more than computer science. Because everybody has their own idea of how to do something.
That's right. I'm in the software industry, but I'm not a developer. I'm an account manager. So there's a lot of stuff for me. It wasn't too bad. The technician was super easy. I think I studied for like 3 days. And it took it, and maybe studied a couple hours a day, maybe an hour a day. And then I took the general exam without studying any of those general questions. I should have just studied on a little bit more, but I just procrastinated. So I'm procrastinating again.
General exam questions were all that much more difficult, as I recall. No, I don't know. It's been more than 10 years. I couldn't remember. Well, it hasn't been that long. 2011, maybe 2010, yeah, almost that long. But study general. Well, that's what I did. Study the technician in general, and maybe even have a peek at the extra questions. That way, yeah, you can keep taking all three exams until you fail the first one. So what's the worst that's going to happen? You go out of there with a technician license. You know, in the meantime, you've gotten your $15 worth.
Very true. And they let you take it for free. I think the Laurel exams are free.
I forget where I even, I think it was up in, it was all the way out on the island. It was Lindenhurst, at the basement of some fire station. But that's where the radio club met, and that's where the volunteer examiners were. But you know, it's a useful license to have. Everybody should have one. Even if your interest in radio is, you know, somewhat secondary, for the simple reason that everyone should have access to, you know, the free airwaves.
Roger that.
In recent years, there's been an increase in new hams. Probably because for about the past 10 or 12 years, I don't think there's been a Morse code requirement. So that's got a lot of an avalanche of new ham licensees. But, yeah, you know, use these frequencies and make sure the FCC sees you using them in case they decide to reallocate them for something else. You know, if they see something like, you know, no one's using, let's say, 11 meters, they'll hack it up and give it to the Citizens Band people.
Chomping at the bit to get some frequencies from something away to use for 5G.
5G, what are they doing for 5G? I know after the digital television switch, a lot of those frequencies became available, and like 700 megahertz, parts of 600 megahertz. Now, the upper part of the band above that, I don't know what frequency range 5G is in. A lot of frequencies got freed up because the number of television station frequencies got reduced. The mobile phone companies are bought a lot of those. What they're using for 5G, I'm not sure.
About 5G and the government trying to allocate something. I was reading it in one of the newsletters from, it's probably on QRZ I heard, but I was actually in Utah listening to one of the nets where they rebroadcast that QRZ ham radio news.
Right, okay, so what other part of the spectrum can they reallocate? I don't know. Let's see, 900 megahertz, 1200 megahertz, that's like 33 or 23 centimeters. That's commercial and public safety stuff now. 1900 or 1800 megahertz or something is already mobile phone and moment wireless data frequencies. Let's see, is there anything above that? That hams, yeah, you know, they, there's always, there's spare spectrum floating around, I'm sure, right?
The frequencies they were talking about, but really what I'm finding here is something about encryption.
Yeah, I'm in the vehicle, so can't really do nothing from here. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, and if necessary, I don't know how much spectrum space the military and the U.S. government is holding on to versus how much of it they really need. Not that they're going to give it away to the hams either.
Talking about 47 gigahertz for 5G.
That's going to have a shorter range, because that's going to want to, well, I don't know. 5G is short range anyway. 5G is basically fiber. It's like the last mile of fiber optics. We need somewhere to take the multi-megabit fiber optic pipe and send it wireless the last mile is really what they're talking about.
A larger pipe, more bandwidth, faster.
Laws of physics. Wider bandwidth also means lower radiated power. Well, you know, lower effective power. And at the receiver end, lower Q. So you end up with having to increase, you know, the number of repeaters or antennas or whatever it is you want to call them. You're going to end up with 5G repeater things, you know, every couple of hundred feet.
Possible in a urban environment, but not in a suburban environment or rural area. So what do you do in the software industry? Are you a development guy or manager of a group of developers?
The pretty much retired now. I got out of that some years ago. No, I was the I was a developer. You know, I was a good C and Unix person, which I assume is still in demand. I did a lot with telecom systems, interactive voice response systems, that sort of thing. Press 1 for English, press 2 for some other language. You know, welcome to Shaftco, blah, blah, blah. Please dial your extension. That was me. I designed a lot of those things.
Gotcha. I know it well. From the account management standpoint, I worked at Ring Central, TW Telecom, Level 3. Small guys like Saturn Communications, we were mostly via shop, that kind of thing.
So, you know, and I just, I was out of it for a while for various reasons, and, you know, that's the sort of field where if your skills are 6 months out of date, you know, it's a funny field. I see you haven't, you're not up on the latest, you're not buzzword compliant. You haven't worked anywhere in 6 months. That's a long time.
The profile is, your job title is quite interesting.
A LinkedIn profile? When did that happen?
You might want to take a look at it. Hopefully somebody else didn't do it. It says your name, Gray Court, South Carolina. And as the experience, it says, unemployed jackass. Not kidding.
Well, then it's correct. I honestly don't know who did that. I've never even visited the LinkedIn site, much less log in and create some sort of account. You sure you got my name spelled right? I'll have to look it up.
It's got your name on there. Maybe you did it one night while you were sleepwalking.
That's interesting. Maybe I went to LinkedIn to look up someone else's profile, and maybe I couldn't do it without creating another profile. Unemployed jackass. That sounds like something I might put.
Retired because you don't care what people think or see. I couldn't do it on mine. Well, I could, but yeah. Speaking of unemployed jackass, I better get back to work or else I will be unemployed. But Glenn, it's been good talking to you, KED2BNG. 73 to you. This is W4NDK. Hopefully we'll continue this conversation again soon. It's a good QSO.
W4NDK, right? All right. KD2BNG, yeah, I'll talk to you later. I'm sitting here in the car park burning fuel. I should go in and do some shopping before I go home. But, yeah, likewise, good QSO, and we'll see you later. KD2BNG, I'll be clear.
KD2BNG, this is W4NDK. Check you later.